Shahryar Jamshidi is a Kurdish-Canadian Comanche player, composer, and improviser who grew up in Iran. He's collaborated with many musicians, including heavy metal cellist Raphael Weinroth Brown in their duo Comanchello, and has released numerous albums which feature his unique improvisational style. I find his playing to be extremely expressive and his personal story compelling. In this conversation, he performs several improvisations, and he introduces us to the spiked fiddle, which is the ancestor of the violin and is used across many cultures, and also speaks about the need for humanity to stay in touch with our traditional music. The transcript is available on my website, linked in the description, along with the link for both the video and podcast. I've added timestamps, and the video has closed captions.
Hello, Ria. How are you?
Good. Shahryar Jamshidi, it's very nice to meet you this way. So,
nice to meet you too.
You're going to introduce us to the Comanche. I'm probably saying that wrong. Could you?
No, it's right. Yeah. Comanche. Comanche is a musical instrument, and Comanche means the small arkbow in Persian and Kurdish language. And yeah, probably you need to see the instrument, and it's an old instrument. And before showing the instrument, I would like to just say something about the history or something about the instrument and area they use it. They play the instrument there. Comanche is one of the famous bowed string instrument in Middle East, actually West Asia. When we say Middle East, it's going to Arabic area, and they have a different instrument, and probably they call it rubab or rebek. And but this one is different because it has a different music box. It's like a bow, and other instrument like Comanche has it just a small part. Probably in Turkey or Greece, we have the same instrument, but doesn't have a music box like Comanche. It's just a piece of wood, and the strings they are on it, wood, and there is no music box like this. And this instrument is a story because the area had lots of bloody wars, and many documents just destroyed after any empire, everything clear, and new empire made new life. And after that, when they were defeated by another power, everything just gone. And for this instrument Comanche, they found the name in a poem, actually encyclopedia. It's called Dura to Touch. I don't know the name of the writer. And it's over 1,000 years ago in a poem, the Persian writer, Persian artist named the Comanche, the same name we know today in his book. But there are many different documents, and it shows the age of the instrument is over these days, and probably maybe over 2,000 years ago. And this instrument is Persian Comanche because of the shape and size of the neck. But this instrument has a different size and shape. When the size and shape of the instrument change, is going to another area. It's like it's like a language and accent. When you're talking about Indo-European language, any part of the Indo-European area, Indo-European countries has a different accent and different language. It's a language, but different one. It's like an accent. And Comanche has a thing like that. The shape of instrument, when you're going to Central Asia, Azerbaijan, probably you heard the name of Azerbaijan, is a small country, but they love music, and they have a lot of great musicians because of the past system, the communists, and this system just tried to educate people, and these people just separated from part of the Iran from it's like 200 years ago, Azerbaijan just cut under the power of Russian Empire that time. and they brought their culture from Persian Iraq area, because Persia was a very big place, a big country. And that time they brought Comanche to the new area, to their new home. It was their home, but you know, the geographical border cut the country, and you know, they made a new country. And these people, Azeri people with Azeri language, have a different Comanche and actually different tar, probably with the, you know, it's like a lute instrument they play, like da 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 da, this
plucked,
way,
yeah.
As a, you know, just, yeah, they carry tar. And this instrument, Comanche in Azerbaijan, has a small neck and different, you know, strings. And they tune it one interval upper than this one to the, you know, just connection, the neck and the body is like a 27, 28 centimeter. But this instrument, my instrument, is a long one for men, you know, for people. Because when you, the neck of instrument is longer, the sound of instrument is bass, mm-hmm. is going to bass, is not really sharp.
Yeah.
And this one, yeah, this one is 31 centimeters. And the body, if you, I think you can mm-hmm. see it well, the body is like a bow, and my instrument has 80 pieces of two different woods.
Really?
Yeah. You can see it. See
so
it.
I'll just say for people listening to the podcast who can't see this, it's like a bowl shape of wood, and like it's bent wood, and it's alternating different colors. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, they made it with two different woods, mm-hmm. Mulberry, Persian mulberry, white mulberry, and walnut. Mm-hmm. And Jasnik has it, they made it from walnut. All part of the instrument is walnut, mm-hmm. you know. Walnut wood, and it has a lamb skin mm-hmm. membrane and a bridge, small bridge, and for tuning, what's it called? Just like, yeah, for tuning,
fine tuners,
and
yeah.
the fine tuners. And the strings are my strings, are from you know, Viola, because the shape of its instrument is longer than violin. Usually they use a violin string in Iran, and they order the violin string, and probably they add the extra, you know, length to the, you know, top of the string to just, you know, put it in a pegs. But when I came out, just try to use a different strings, and I have a gut string. Actually, it's not a real gut. It's a synthetic gut string for, you know, D and G. And it's like a violin, you know, E, A, D and G, the strings. Another part is a bow. It's a simple one, very simple. And
so I'm so curious about the hair, because it's so loose compared to violin family.
Yeah, yeah. It's so loose because you can adjust it by your fingers. Because when you play the instrument is stay on a just pinhead. I forgot to just mention this part. It's a metal pinhead.
So we call that an end pin for a cello. It's the same as a...
Yeah, end pin. Like a cello. And... you just turn the instrument, probably you can see my finger, see?
Yes.
With your finger, and when you put a, you know, bow on an instrument, the bow is in the right place, but you just, you know, adjust it, turn it in right and left, and don't move it. Sometimes, depends on, you know, musician. Some musician, you know, wants to add extra techniques. But usually is, you know, in the same place and you change the instrument.
Yes, that's very different. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So was that a traditional tune that you improvised on, or was it?
Yeah, you know, this mode, this scale, kind of scale, yeah, is a shur mode, or they call it bayat in Arabic, but in most of the area, they call it shur. And just I played improvisation, and you know, changes some, you know, key notes, and just get back to the, you know, main scale, the shur. And I play A shur, if you listen, just based on A. Mm-hmm.
And when you first learned the Comanche, what was the way you were taught? Because I understand it's a lot of just listening and improvisation from the beginning.
All music of the area, traditional music, need to just listen, not, you know, learn. Is totally different from Western culture, Western music. And you start to listen to music, not play instrument a lot. You listen to the music traditionally, because when you grow up with songs and instrumental pieces and vocal music. The vocal music is a main music of the area, or people singing and just kept this kind of music for centuries, and transformed the music to another generation. And for playing music, when you say playing music, we should say singing before playing music, because if you can sing, you can play music. Mm-hmm. That's a simple thing. That's why when people growing up, they listen to mother, family, you know, wedding, and any place, people just singing. And the poem is a important part, because when we sing, need a, you know, poem, need a word, and we memorize the word, and word help us to, you know, memorize the, you know, tunes and intervals. And this is the first part, and I'm going to the instrument. And after this, if the teacher or the, you know, instructor knows, okay, you have ability or a skill to learn music, they try to teach you in another way. They're sitting on a floor, or probably today on a chair, and they give a same instrument to the person. And in early age is good, because your mind is clear and you can learn well. And just they play something for the student, and this person should repeat it. Mm-hmm. Repeat and repeat. And in traditional way, I think 100 years ago, I'm just talking about Persian music now, not Kurdish music. We had a system, they call it Maktab Khane. It's like a traditional system. All people, a student and teacher, sitting on the floor, and one person or teacher or leader just play a song, like da 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 dum dum dum. It's like a few notes, and people try. Somebody just, you know, take one note, another one, second note, and somebody with, you know, natural skill, get another note, get full of the notes, and they share it together. This is a very old and traditional. But today, after this, one person just learning music, the teacher play things, simple things, and the rhythmic things. But before anything, they teach the people just free rhythm songs, because it's like, you know, bard music, you know, vocal music. All of the music of the area is like, you know, vocal music, or very old with poem. And teachers or instrumentalists try to, you know, play this kind of music. And today, we use both, you know, system. It's not just, you know, by ear or listening or practice. They wrote a lot of, you know, pieces, like, you know, they use a Western notation, and we can use, we use both, you know, system. And the musician growing up, but the problem of the, this system, today people very like to, you know, use just notation, you know, just read the scores, because it's easy, it's very easy. And you don't need, you know, just pressure on your mind to just memorize, because in this kind of music, memorizing the, you know, parts, songs, is important to play in this song, because you need to keep it in your mind, then play it. And people don't have, you know, good memory to keep a lot of song in their mind. That's just, you know, is a bad part of this, you know, system. But like Western music, people just read the note and play a score. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it.
And I'm curious, when it's written with Western notation, because some of the notes are not the same as Western scales, obviously they're in between the notes. Are those notated in a certain way, or is it just understood if you're in...
No, we have a different, you know, different symbols to add to the music. And actually, if you just look at the softwares like Sibelius or Finelli, they have a quarter tone.
Okay.
And yeah, they have two different... When you use a sharp note, half, you know, half interval, half tone, less than sharp is, they call it suri in Persian music. And if you played, you know, half tone, I forgot the name, they call it kurun, you know, kurun. It's not a quarter. You can, you know, you can count it, you know, if you measure it, is not correct, because yeah, it's not a real quarter note. And, you know, each musician have a different, you know, quarter tone. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, skilled people. For example, in this area, the leader, you know, the professional musician have their, you know, airs, their music, mm-hmm. you know, the microtonal, how can I say it? They have a different, you know, different tone. When they play the quarter tone, they have a different, you know, somebody played, you know, higher, and another one you played lower, you know, you can measure it, but it's like a taste of the food.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, and like other, you know, traditional culture, and we have just symbols for this, and for techniques as well, you know, we use all techniques from the bow, the string instrument, violin, viola, and we have different techniques, because we use it, you know, some temper to just, you know, add a taste, yeah, texture to the music.
You were doing some of those in your last song. Can you show us some specific techniques?
For example, I will show you the two different quarter tones I just talked about. For example, here, A. This is a Western one. It's not Western, it's a half, you know, full half tone. But we, you know, if you add, you know, bring down your first finger, the second, you know, tone, as C or B, we call it C, yeah, like Italian people. They call it C coron, see? This is a normal. It's sharp,
yeah.
It's a little bit. Has a different, you know, personality. But if you play with, you know, half, or another one for F sharp. See? This is a normal one. We use it in a major. This is a major. But if you bring it back a little bit, getting back to the normal, or quarter tone, and you should stay on the tone. It's like exaggerate the tone, because it's like a key. You should stay there and repeat it. Mm-hmm. It's like a stop note. But if you play the half, and another techniques, you have many techniques like other instrument like violin, viola, or cello. Just I play something, and you are familiar with all of them. Vibration, some vibration. Can you see the bow? See, bow has it. Some techniques, personal techniques. If you change it in a position here, bring it up, yeah, as a different sound. Other vibration. This under the vibration. And we have something, I don't know the English word, we call it tikia. It's like, you use another finger, small note for many. But when we play, music, we have a lot of, texture we add to the, when you play traditional one, not, other music, see? Other techniques, probably three. Or.
And you do plucking? Is that traditional? Because a lot of your albums, you do pizzicato.
Yeah, pizzicato. Yeah, it's not traditional. Yeah, it's just personal thing. We have many different plugins. See, you can use a double with different fingers. Or with left.
For people who are listening to this and can't see, he was alternating plucking with both his left and right hand at the same time.
Yeah, and just bow techniques, probably we have just maybe different from violin or other instruments. You can see, yes. Yeah. simple one.
I could listen to you play all day. So one of your albums you recorded with a singer, but I know you often sing traditional Kurdish songs while you're playing. Is that part of the tradition to sing while you play kamanche?
For kamanche playing, no. It's, I think it's hard for, you know, when you play, mm-hmm. you know, instrument like violin or kamanche and singing simultaneously, because it's hard to, you know, just... make a balance between your song, your voice and the instrument. Mm-hmm. But some people doing that, and just I try, because probably we forgot, you know, talking about many things before going on an instrument, you know, mentioning the instrument and techniques. This kind of music has a, you know, story. Personally, I try to show the instrument as a simple and solo instrument. Now playing in orchestra, you can see, if you just have a little bit search on internet, you can find it, 2-3 kamanche or 1 kamanche in a big orchestra with, you know, 10-12 people, and the other instrument cover the sound of the kamanche, and I just try. Started, you know, it's like after my education, I started to just do something just by myself, you know, simple thing. And actually, it's hard. You play violin, and you know, when you are on a stage, everything is like, you know, you don't have any cover, and you should be careful about things like this instrument, because you can't, you know, keep instrument in a right way. It's not a violin. Mm-hmm. You have it, you know, some space and place, okay, you can slip on violin as well. But here, you can do that. And I try to introduce Kurdish music, because Kurdish music, and if you listen to my kamanche, my music, I'm trying to bring my instrument to the voice of human. And we have a lot of, you know, techniques of singing, and we have many different, you know, genre of singing in different part of the Kurdistan. Probably later I'm little bit talking about the Kurdistan, because when you're talking about people cultures, you can, you know, add your music to the, you know, to this system, to the culture. And I try to present my music as a soloist, but I work with a new traditional orchestra, duo music, trio, and many different things. But my preference, you know, is playing solo, and because it's my sign, you know, my signature. And in today, you know, life, in modern life, nobody care of, you know, acoustic music, and it's very hard. You have a, you know, big challenge to just present yourself, your music, because our people, because we're living in modern era, and in modern era, people don't care about it, you know, single song, mm-hmm. single person. We need a big one. And that's why when you listen to the metal music, it's a huge song, you know, it's an electronic song. And people love it, because people need a huge food, you know. When you see the portion of food people eating, it's a big one. And actually, they can't digest it, but they like it, because it's a culture. And actually, I don't like this culture. That's why I play solo, and I need people like this, you know, they need, going to, you know, mention in another way. This system, this technology just stop us from thinking. And I try to, you know, give my music to people, they need to think. Because when you listen to this just solo music, any kind of music, you can listen to the just solo guitar or, you know, solo piano or any music, you have a time to think and going deep inside yourself. But when you're going out, it means you try to listen to the big music, big songs, you know. You don't have a time to connect to yourself. You should go out. Mm-hmm. That's a story, and I'm trying to just present this kind of music.
Mm-hmm. On many of your albums, you've overdubbed Comanche parts. And are they all the same size? Because sometimes they sound much lower. Like the one you did, the yellow, what was the name of that?
Yellow Flower. Yeah, Yellow Flower. In Yellow Flower, I just arrange music for 4 to 6 Comanche. And if you listen to the music, in this music, I didn't use any, you know, alto music, viola music, because I can show you another instrument I have here. I, you know, put a just viola string on an instrument. The fourth string is a C, and you can use it. But for this album, just I use the same, you know, Comanche, okay. Different Comanche, same, you know, range of the music, same level, with different Comanche and different techniques. And if you're recording music, if you change your place behind the microphone, you can, you know, have a different sound. And yeah, for this album, I played few just part overdubbed the music.
Mm-hmm. And
go.
I was just curious, like, for that album, because it's more orchestral and it's very interesting, like different styles I find in that music. Have you played any of those with other Comanche players just to play it?
Unfortunately, no. This album has a different story. I composed, actually it's a composition, because of, you know, it's like a there was 7 songs. Mm-hmm. 7 Kurdish songs and, you know, prohibited songs, because in Iran, in, you know, that system, radical country, Islamic radical system, you need a paper for anything. When you record your music, you need to send your poem to the, you know, just few people sitting on a chair and reading your poem. And because they have a border, and, you know, many, real poem, real world, just they will delete it, and they can go, you know, you can record your music, but you're not allowed to just, you know, publicize your music. And that's why for this I just composed this music over 5-6 years, because of the situation in Iran since 2007 until 12, I haven't had any chance to go on a stage because of the system, and I was just prohibited to working as a musician because I needed that, you know, just paper, go on a stage, and it was very hard. And my last concert, it was 2007 with Terio Music. If you're going to Google, YouTube, you can find it. We played the traditional music with Terio. But after that time, I decided, okay, I can compose some different things for my Comanche. And this composition, this album took 1 year, actually, because I played each part by myself, and I invited a percussionist and singer later just complete the album. And in 2012, this album just finished. And when I came out in 2014, I published it in Iran formally, and in Canada just online. And it's a vocal music, and probably, you know, when you're talking about vocal music, you have limited followers, because it's not English, it's a Kurdish, and in different language, and just few million people can listen to this music. And that's why this music, and actually I have albums now, and, you know, in old system, they just press 1,000 CDs, you know, not 250 or more. You should pay for 1,000, and that time I paid for this, and actually the company helped me, just, you know, they published it, and they got it, you know, paper from the government. And the poem is about a love, almost love of, love. It's not traditional. I chose a few different poems from modern poem from a famous poet, Abdullah Pashim, and old poem Hajar and other people in Kurdish Surani. And Kurdish Surani is we have a few different dialects in Kurdish, and this is a Surani. Iranian Kurds and Iraqi Kurds, they're speaking Surani language. And anyway, I just published the album, and that's it. I really like to, bring this kind of music on a stage, probably just give the part, change the part for violin, mm-hmm. For orchestra, for quartet, I don't know. Because they have a different range, and that's a different music.
Anyway. I thought it would work for string orchestra, like listening to
I think so. And this is about this album.
Speaking of languages, so Kurdish languages, the different dialects, are closely related to Persian, as I understand, and this is in the Indo-European language family, as opposed to Arabic, which is completely different language family.
Yeah, different, right? Kurdish language actually has a two different. We can say two different language. They call it Kurmanji and Surani. Kurmanji people, they live in Turkey, mm-hmm. and northwest of Iran, in two different areas. Because after the Qajar in Iran, probably you heard the name of the king of Iran, the first one, the Reza Khan. He just collect Kurdish people from border and sent them. Refugee people, send them to the east of Iran because of, he was worried about the attack of Russia, because Kurdish people, they are brave and fighting. Because they're living in a border. When you are in a border, you have a right to just protect yourself. And that's why these people, this language, I talked about the Kurmanji people, they are in northeast of Iran, close to some part of Russia. Tajikistan or it's not Russia today, but different countries, and in Turkey, border of Turkey, and in Turkey, and another one, Surani language, west of Iran, Kurdish people and Iraqi from Erbil and Soleimani, they have the same language. And one different thing, in Surani, like a Persian or Arabic, they use the same alphabet. Mm-hmm. They write the same alphabet. But for Kurmanji, it's like a Turkish or, it's like some word, they write it like English, but they have a different, syllables. And they're like French. Yeah. That's why those people can understand each other. That's part of the politic. Mm-hmm. Because in Turkey, the system changed the alphabet, and we had I think it's about 70-80 years ago, they changed the alphabet, and before that time we had a lot of poem and history and story in the same language, mm-hmm. but they changed the alphabet and separate people, mm-hmm. in that way. And this language have a relationship with Persian language.
Mm-hmm. So you grew up in the town of the city of Kermanshah, is that right way to
put it? Kermanshah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at pictures on Google, so beautiful.
It's a beautiful mountain area. Kurdistan is in mountain, people love mountain. And I grew up in this city, and actually, I grew up in a war, 8 years of my life, not myself, all people of the country, just wasted for just hiding and, protecting yourself because of war. And 8 years is a huge time in your life. And, those years we didn't go to school, on and off going to school. And education, no education, no cultures, nothing. Just, fighting for nothing. And due to this situation, probably, actually, I would like, add something here. About politics in Middle East. I'm sure you know about this. In 19, 78 or 79, the government totally changed, and the Islamic government just had the power, you know, got the power, and they cleared everything. The freedom, music, singing, and everything. And I was, you know, 7 when things changed. I grew up with radio, because radio was the only choice you freely just listen to the music at night. You know, most radio at night, they had songs. I remember I listened to Kurdish radio of Baghdad and another city, Dubuk, both in Iraq, but one of them, it was in Kurdistan of Iraq and another in Baghdad. And they played, you know, emotional music, folk music, and I grew up with this music and just memorized them. And this very too much helped me to understand the music. And another important thing is the language. In our area, the focus is on the main language, the Persian language, and because of the official language, the governmental language, and there is no chance to, you know, learn your mother tongue language at the school or in professional way. And I remember my father and my parents were originally Kurds, but they didn't speak in Kurdish at home. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had the chance to learn Kurdish. And radio helped me to get in touch with, you know, my background language. And later when I went to university, you know, at age 21, I went to University of Tehran after, you know, passing the private music class for 2 years. That time I started to learn Kurdish language. You know, it's a big gap in your life. And that's why I'm so curious about language. Language is part of any culture. When we are talking about language, we are talking about music, because music is poem. Poem is music, you know, song. All of these, you know, three things connecting together, making songs and making cultures. And that's why that time I tried very hard to just as a self-taught musician, part of, and probably, you know, in traditional music, part of your education is learning by yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in classical music we have the same thing. Everything is not at a school or on your mind of your teacher. You should do something by yourself. And in traditional music, most of the music is your work. Mm-hmm. You get ideas and you just, you know, make it, build this, you know, for yourself. And that's the story of traditional music. Probably if you're talking with another musician from different background, they have the same idea. Language, music, and actually in Kurdish culture, dance is a main, you know, important part of the culture. I think the group of people in the world, the Kurds are only group of people in the world, they are dancing every time. When they are sad, when they are happy, all time. If you check online, and dance is part of our culture. And as you mentioned before about the, you know, rhythm from Balkan, all of these rhythm connected to the dance. And in Kurdish culture, we have a lot of dance, and all people, actually I don't do dance, you know, and I played for, you know, dancers when I was at university. You know, I went to different places, just learn and, you know, get in touch with people. Yeah, this is all of the story. We grew up with this and with them, and I listen to music because I grew up in, you know, traditional, rich, very rich traditional culture. And every day we just listen to music. The music for Kurds is like a food, like a water, air. And actually this system just closed everything, closed the, you know, theater, concert halls, and musician didn't have a, you know, chance to play music, because if you play music, you should go to, you know, jail or maybe kill you. Some crazy people killing musicians. Many musicians, you know, lost their life for nothing in that country. And that time, just, I haven't had any chance. You can imagine war and, you know, changing the system. until age 17, I just tried, you know, to listen to music of, you know, friends and family, because I grew up in Kurdish culture. All people playing tambur is a long neck lute or oud, they call it in English. And I play something that time, I just more listen. As I said before, in this culture, traditional culture, you need a documentation, you know. You need a document in your head, in your mind. And when you have enough, you know, materials in your mind, you can start learning music. It's totally different. Actually, in classical music, we have the same thing. In classical music, you should listen a lot to different genres and different composers. And then you're working. But as a musician, you need this. It's like a reading book for writers. And that time, just informal, I learned music and listened a lot to the music. And after that, when the leader of the government, the Khomeini, passed away, and war gone, and things changed. And they started, you know, to open little bit, you know, doors. And I had the chance to go to the private violin class. Actually, the violinist, Mahmoud Merati, is a great musician and great teacher. He played the violin and I played kamancha, duplicate the sound, you know. And I just learned notation, you know, Western notation from him, because he played violin, classical and Persian violins. And yeah, that's a story of music. But about the town you asked me before, I didn't forget it. Yeah, it's a beautiful town. And the majority of people are Kurds, but it's half and half. And as I said before, the system, the radical system, any radical system change everything, clear everything. Reza Khan changed the culture. And after this, other people changed the culture. For example, the official language is Persian, and the worker for government coming from Persian area, not Kurdish people. And this changing the I forgot the word, demography. You know, demography is changing. And after years, probably 50, 30 years, the language is changed, the culture, the clothes and everything. Yeah, this is a system in Middle East, many countries, doing the same thing in Turkey, in Syria, we know that, and in Afghanistan as well today. Yeah, that's it.
So when they had the absolute ban on music as well, vocal traditional music was also banned? Wow.
Anything. You know, the first group of people were under the pressure of the women. The voice of women, if your women sing, they're going to, you know, hell. That's simple, because of the system and the idea, ideology. And that's why singing, the first thing, they stop people to sing. And ladies, if you just check Iran after 43 years, 43 years is a big life, you know. Women, they're not allowed to sing just separately as a soloist. They're singing with men because it's like a choir song, and they change the volume of women, bring it down, and the volume of men is up. And that's the story. And actually, for musicians as well, women, they're not allowed to play music. They play music with men, but if they have a band, for example, women just present music for women, you know, in private place. For example, if they sell a ticket in a theater just for ladies, not men. Yeah, that's a... actually, that's a stupid thing, and you know, they destroyed life of people. In Iran, I remember, if you check online, we had a great symphony orchestra. Many famous musicians around the world came to Iran and played, you know, recitals, concerto, and anything. But now we have it, you know, on and off music world, and we have a great musician, but they don't have a chance, and many of them just going out of the country. And we did the same thing. Yeah.
So when did you emigrate?
Changing your life.
Okay.
In 2012, as I said before, 2007 until 12, I haven't had any chance. And it's like you're living in your room, just forever. And we try just be got immigration. We our immigration, you know, papers accepted, and we paid everything. Yeah, not as a refugee, you know, we paid. We came with our money. And is it this? But I like Canada. Yeah, it's a great country. Yeah, because they accept all cultures. That's very important. And, you know, in our crazy world, living in. You can see the, Russia killing other people, in Syria killing another people, Iraq. But Canada just, you know, share the love and keep the people because we don't have a time to
spend
for
So when you came to Canada, I'm curious, in the Iranian community, are there a lot of Kurds? Is there a great diversity of, you know, people coming from that region that settled in Canada that you met? Or
Yeah, we have a big community of Kurdish people and Persian people, and I work with Persian people as well in Canada. I work with Toronto's Tirgan Festival a few times. I performed there, and a Kurdish community. We have powerful and hard worker Kurds in Canada they try to present their cultures, and I work with them. And yeah, we have over 5 million Kurds around the world, you know, in Europe, North America, and about 10 million, 7 million is not the right, you know, number.
Yeah.
Persian people. It's a huge number.
Yeah.
It's like a country, but, you know, separated.
Mm.
Yeah, I work with them.
Was curious because when you came to Canada, you got some interesting opportunities. Like you went to Banff to do a residency there.
Right. In 2017, I applied for Banff and just create my project, you know, proposal. I sent my proposal and they accepted. And I think it was new for Banff, you know, in some way. And because they try just, you know, make a residency for classical musician, and I don't know, maybe for popular music or other genre, we have a residency. But for world music and traditional music, I think, I don't say I was first person. When I came there, you know, next day we were for interview to each other, and we were talking, and I was only person, you know, play traditional or classical music from other cultures, all people from, you know, university staff, you know, professional musician. And it was a great chance for me because I had the chance to play improvisation with classical musician. They love, everybody love, you know, improvisation music. You can just tune your instrument, play with piano or cello or singers. Yeah, it was a great time, and I brought my project. My project was solo music, and probably, you know, at the end of the residency, you have a chance to play your music and perform with other musicians. And I play solo about 20 minutes, and later I put something of that music in my new album, the right album I recently publicized, and work with different musicians. I remember I play with, I think, a lady, she plays, I think, country music from US, Kim Ritchie, I think so. She invited me, and we had a concert at the place there. And I play with, you know, drum and bass guitar. I play with piano, but not as a concert. Yeah, yeah. That's a. I think that's a great opportunity for everybody.
Yeah,
just
I
if
never
you
did
need,
that.
You should try it.
I kind of regret not having had that opportunity. It's a wonderful Canadian thing. And you, I was curious. You went to Azerbaijan. It was the
right.
International Society for Music Education. You were invited to that conference?
Right. And actually, just I applied for this conference and they accepted me. And you know, when you apply for a conference connected to the university, you should write it, you know, a great proposal for music, because you are an individual and you're not, you know, under the name of any universities. And I applied for this, and they accept my application, and actually I awarded from them, you know, I got an award, and it was, I think it was a great chance, you know, tremendous chance for me to connect with these people. People from UK and Australia, and they had the conference in Baku 2018 for a week, yeah. And I met many, you know, great scholars and musicians, but I haven't had the chance to play with musicians. And just, you know, going to the, you know, rooms and for, you know, interviews, for papers, they brought many papers. But for myself, I had the chance to meet a famous Comanche player, Muniz Sharifov. Muniz Sharifov is a famous Comanche player from Baku, Azerbaijan. I was a student in Iran, in University of Tehran. He came as a, you know, performer in Iran, and for a few months he was in Iran. I had the chance to meet him and play with him, and, you know, I learned many things from him. And that time he came to my concert, you know, you can imagine, after 20 years, he came to my concert, you know, different people, but after 20 years. And yeah, it just, this is the, I think, one of things I can even remember from that conference. And after that, yeah, I would like to try, you know, go to another conference as well. Because we are living in a small world, and I don't like, you know, sitting behind the borders. We should pass, cross the borders. Because we are human, and we play music. No matter you play classical music, traditional, Celtic, anything, we play song.
I also noticed
we make a song.
That's International it. Society for Improvised Music. You played at a conference in Toronto and Waterloo a few years ago. You played a trio with a couple of guitarists, Serbian,
right, yeah,
and Jewish, and you kind of mixed up some improvisation. What was that like?
Right. Yeah, that it was great. You know, the first time I went to Switzerland, the first time in 2015, I went to Switzerland. And I met a musician there. And after that, they came to Toronto because the conference just take a place in Toronto, in Ontario. And they came there, and I invited, you know, Jewish guitarist and another guitarist. They are in the same university, University of Minnesota. They're working there, and they came there. And after that conference, the professor of music, the composition music, Alex Lobet, is a great man and great musician. He invited me as a residency to go to a music school there. And 2018, I went there as a lecturer, and, you know, I present my music and talking and playing with, you know, I think orchestra, you know, different orchestra, different musician there. And we had a two nights concert and recorded CD. We recorded a CD, and it's like 4 years just waiting to, you know, publish this CD. Maybe this year or later, because of, you know, many things happened because of Corona. And I recorded a CD, recorded album with ukulele, and I don't know the name of the guitar. Different is a guitar. I don't know the name of this guitar, sorry for that moment. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's an album with ukulele and guitar.
Yeah, it's curious because things, when I was reading, like, you played with a Balkan musician, and I was thinking the rhythms in a lot of the Kurdish music I've heard you play on your albums, to me it sounds a bit Balkan, like the seven, you know, the feeling of the groove.
Actually, right, they are in the same thing. But one thing about the Balkan music is if you look back to the Ottoman Empire, brought the culture of the, you know, West Asia to Balkan. That's why when you listen to Balkan music, you touch the same things. Yeah, this is a history. It's so crazy. When you're going to Spain, they play music is like Arabic music, because of the, you know, the Arab just go there. And for Balkan music, yeah, they have the same, you know, rhythm, but with different culture because of language and dances and all this kind of rhythm, 7/8, 5/8,
yeah,
have a different dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have
the
same culture, right?
Mountains with Mohsen Badri on percussion. I really love that as well. It's such a beautiful marriage of the different sounds. Actually, could we have a music break? Would you be willing to play some more for us? Thank you so much. I'm curious, when you go to your Comanche every day, or if you play every day, are you improvising mostly? Do you have a practice, like the way you practice, or?
The way of practice, mm-hmm. Actually every day I start with improvisation because your mind is fresh. And in improvisation, you can use your techniques, daily practice, you know. It's a different thing. For example, violinists, I know violinists, they have a few techniques. Every morning, they should do the same thing, but probably they play the, notes. But for me, I play the improvising with some techniques to warm up my fingers. And then if I like, I'm going to, just play scores. Or listening to the song, play with the song, I'm just focusing on traditional music. And actually, if you check my website, I work with symphony orchestra, with classical musicians, but my main focus is old traditional music. And I'm trying to, find a way, bring that music to the daily life. Because it's like, you're going to the museum, when you see the stuff on museum, your tools, stuff, everything on museum, you can use them now. Actually, yeah, they're so expensive, but you can use them. And for me, I'm trying to connect to the old music and get my idea, just everybody has a different idea, and bring it to the new life today, for today. That's why I very much love old music, because we need a connection to the past.
Okay. Okay, well, we didn't talk about your most recent recording, which is so powerful and expressive. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. This recording, my sunset land, Rojava. Rojava is a name probably you know, is Kurdistan. We as a Kurd help people just, you know, to find themselves after the war. And I was focusing on women because in Middle Eastern countries, women, they have a poor, you know, situation. They don't have enough support from, you know, government and community. And in this area, just women were a leader for people. They were fighting, and they, many people just passed away. They just lost their life for just freedom of the country, freedom of their place. Actually, they don't have a free place now, and probably you know. They are under pressure of the, you know, Turkey in the border. But that time, I just think of the Rojava, and I dedicate one of my songs to the brave woman, Vian. And I didn't know her, just, you know, I learned from internet, a singer, you know, teacher, a singer from Iranian Kurdish city, from the border, just left everything behind and just went to Rojava and fight, you know. And it's a big choice, and nobody can do that. And just I dedicate the name of the song to her and compose this song for her, you know. And if you check, I have a videos for this album. Unfortunately, I try to hire refugee people from our place. I tried, but it was very hard. For example, if you look at the just picture of the album, is from Zara Dugan. Zara Dugan, she's a Kurdish, you know, activist and great painter from Turkey, from Kurdistan. And just I tried to find her, and fortunately on Facebook I found her, you know, representer, and I got her, you know, photo for my album, and for a video, another person in France, you know. Yeah, I tried, you know, to share my music with people, because we have many, many great, you know, professional artists around the world. They don't have a chance to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so easy. It's easy to find them, but the opportunity is not easy. That's why I focus on this. And fortunately, I received a grant from the Ontario Arts Council and Toronto Art Council as well. Yeah, two grants together, and yeah, they helped me to just professionally record the music and press the CDs and everything. But I released the album in middle of the pandemic because I had a deadline for just releasing the album like other artists.
That album, I very, very powerful. I've listened to it quite a lot, but when I first heard it, I found it hard because, you know, it's very emotional. It's not so bright. It's very dark.
Dark music.
Yeah, but yeah. Then I realized, you know, we need that, right? Because
we need a contrast. Yeah. And we can't, you know, forget, you know, bad things, because we need a balance, you know, good and bad.
Yeah.
If you're just thinking about, you know, best thing, good things, you can compare it, and we need a comparison, and that's why, and this is part of our culture, this is part of the world. And if you look at you know, to the news, you can see the Ukrainian people, they are dying for nothing, you know, and this is a sad thing, and you can't forget it, and that this is part of our life, and probably we need this kind of music. And yeah, it's sad. Yeah, anyway.
But I think music can, you know, art in general, but I think really music can express things that we don't know how to say. And it really comes through in your playing. So thank you.
And another track in this album is called Tears of Shingle. Mm-hmm. Tears of Shengal is a song for Yazidi women. They were, you know, raped and killed by, you know, the crazy group in, you know, Syria and Iraq a few years ago. It's not, we didn't pass this story. If you check, you can see over 2,500 girls, they're not at their home. And nobody know about them today, you know. And many people just die for nothing. And just, I tried, okay, to just think of these people because we are human. Yeah. And unfortunately, they have a problem today as well. If you check the news, yeah, nothing changed, you know. Just people died and they're living in a destroyed place without anything, without support, without government and anything. And I just tried, you know, to light a flame for these people. Because, for example, people open the album and see the names before, you know, listen to the music. When you sing the names, try to find, what's that name? And this is a way to just connect people together. And actually, it's hard. And it's very sad, and always when I listen to that music, I'm, you know, I'm getting, you know, bad feeling, trust me. But anyway, this is music, and yeah.
Yeah. And so for that album, you did a lot of overdubbing, like you record yourself. So how, yes. What's that process like in terms of the producing of the album? Actually, many of your albums, they're improvised with overdubbing, so.
Right.
Do you do different takes and try what works better, or?
This album has two composed arranged songs, and I think, yeah, seven improvisation. And the improvisation recorded in 2 days, two different days. If you listen to the song, they have a little bit, you know, difference between others, you know, the taste and the modes. And for improvisation, actually, yeah, this is my idea. I'm doing one take music without, you know, cutting or, you know, editing, without, you know, tuning as well. Because when you touch the music, this is not your music, and you should just try to record another one. When you touch it, improvisation, I say about improvisation, not orchestral or songs. You have a metronome or other thing. For improvisation, you can't cut or, you know, just fix anything. Yeah. If you did the bad things, you should just delete it. And that's why I record this album, this just improvisation part, two times, two different days. And they have a probably same feeling, same, you know, tempo. When you listen to the improvisation, any improvisation around the world, from a musician, it's like, you know, when we are talking, we have a speed. When we play music, improvisation, we have the same speed. Because in our mind, it's not a poem or word. I don't know the word about this. But in our mind, we just structure the music. We don't understand, we don't feel, touching the music. You just insert your idea in your on your musical instrument. And for two other songs, you said overdubbed. Yeah, for the first one is I think it's about 9 minutes. It's a long song, and two times it's repeating, and it's very, you know, is a very hard piece, the Vian songs, because the rhythm is different and the speed, and you're going to, you know, down to the position, you know, high positions, and I record this just in one take, one time. It was very hard, but for many days, just I practiced this, and it has a few layers, just overdub the layers for this one. But for another one, yeah, that one took a lot of time, and I took a time to just complete this one.
And I'm just curious, a couple more questions about your improvisation. Do you anticipate, do you hear in your mind what you're about to do? Usually or not?
Actually, it's hard to say that, but for myself, you need travel to where you love, like where you love. And for me, just I'm closing my eyes. Your eyes is open, but you know, inside your eyes closed, and you travel. You know, you take a journey, and I'm going to my place. You know, childhood time, the mountain, the place I love it, and at this moment, you try to just play music inside yourself. This is my idea. It's hard to, you know, imagine and, you know, speak about it. That's why, and for example, you're living in UK or Germany or Canada, anywhere, but your feeling is going to, you know, Middle East, to Kurdistan or any places. And it's hard to kind of, if, this is my idea actually, if you don't have a, you know, connection with your music, you can't play improvisation. You can play improvisation, but it's not your improvisation. And for myself, yeah, I'm going to, you know, past. Mm.
And then do you remember what you've just played when you're improvising? Like if you play a phrase for me, would you be able to play it back?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. And because improvisation, it has a structure for just that piece. You can, you know, listen to your improvisation because you play this and add something, but you can't play the same things. And sometimes your finger, because you play the Comanche and violin, they don't have it, you know, fret. And that's why sometimes you exactly, you know, make a pressure on it, you know, some tones, and maybe it's higher than the normal, for example. Or sometimes you bring, you know, down a tone because of your feeling. And other time you try to, you know, do something on this music is hard. And that's why my idea for improvisation, I think it's hard to add the things to improvisation or duplicate it. You can't duplicate, but it's very hard.
Yeah, no, I was just curious about the memory. On season one, I talked with Hushyar Karyam, and he was saying a lot of improvisers from the Middle East are trained to remember what they just played. So I was curious if...
That's a different story. For example, yeah, right. We have a, you know, fixed music, structured music, like a Persian music, classical Persian music. They call it Radif Musabi Irani. It's a seven, you know, seven different modes, seven different maqams, seven different, you know, scales. And they have a small pieces, they call it gusha. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, a building,
yeah.
High-rising building, and a small, you know, units. And each unit has a rooms. And for this music, they have a melody, fixed melody, actually. Okay. And musician just memorize the fixed melody, but when they improvise the Iranian classical music, for example, they play Shahnaz Gusha, Shahnaz piece. They use a structure and they add their, you know, taste. But if they want to just play the same thing, like, you know, you want to play the Bach, same thing, without adding anything, simple thing, you should do the same things.
Right.
And we have a different daska, different, you know, performed daska from different musician. It's like, you know, different genre, different culture. For example, another tar player had a different radif, different music, and another one with different techniques and different texture. And is that it's a genre in music, that kind of music.
Yeah.
But for improvisation, no. You can add something, but you can't. For example, you can't in classical music, traditional music, you can't cross the borders. If you cross, probably they don't like your music.
Right.
But when you say, okay, I play complete improvisation, you are free to do that.
Right. Okay. I understand. So there's very strict rules in the classical Persian music, and then you're and a lot of what you play.
And Arabic music has the same thing.
Yeah.
And for example, in Kurdish music, we have a vocal songs mm-hmm. in three different areas. I would like, you know, to add this to my, you know, conversation. In Kurmanji language, as I've talked about in Turkey and, you know, west of Iran, we have a song, vocal song. It's like a bard vocal song. They call it Deng Biji. Deng mean voice. Deng Biji means singer, singing. Deng Biji. It's a different style with different language, mm-hmm. totally different technique. But in Surani language, in Iran and Iraq, we have a Gorani Bish. Gorani means song, but the technique and vocal, totally different. It's very close to Persian music, mm-hmm. this kind of, you know, vocal music. And another things in west of Iran, in, you know, a small place, they call it Oraman, and another place they call it, close to my, you know, city, hometown, Kermanshah, their song, they call it Siyachamane. It's a black eyes for girls, you know, it's a love story, and the techniques and way of thinking totally different, you know, from different parts of your, you know, tongue, your scene. And another one, they call it Chamari or Hura. They are a vocal song, but from different area and totally different. For example, for musician, you are a musician, if you listen to each other, you can't, you know, you don't have any way to connect it with another one. It's so amazing. And this kind of music has a bass, you know, mode. For example, they start in a mode, same mode, but they have a way to improvise. And the important part in this kind of vocal music is a poem. Mm-hmm. It's like a storytelling. They chose it, you know, long story and with the same melody, but in each phrase, each part of the poem, they have a different feeling and different texture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. And for myself, I'm trying actually to get something from that music, vocal music, inside to Kermanche, to my music.
Yeah, interesting. Is there anything we didn't talk about today that you wanted to talk about?
Actually, I would like to talk about my other project, Kermanchelo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a Canadian duo. I'm working with Rafael Weinraffs Brown, and yeah, the cellist. He's a classical, you know, musician actually, but today he's a metal musician. Yeah. And sometimes he's working with me as a, you know, improvisers. You know, he's adding his idea, his music, you know. You can imagine his music contains, you know, classical and metal music.
Yeah.
You know, the rhythm from metal music, very sharp and, you know, aggressive. And the techniques from classical music. And I play, you know, traditional music with traditional technique. It's not traditional technique because, you know, better than me, all bow string have the same technique because you use a bow and you right and left hand. Yeah. And I'm playing melody actually, and he's adding his stuff to this music. And we recorded three albums, Kermanchelo, Voyage, and Of Shadows. And in 2017, we record all albums. It's so, you know, interesting. We record these three albums in 2 days.
Wow.
And just, yeah, without any, you know, touching or editing. It's very hard, you know. And just published one by one. And the last one, 2020, just published, you know, in a pandemic. We published it as a digital album. And another project, or not project, CDs, I mentioned before, I have a CD on the way with an American musician, guitarist, Professor Alex Lovett. And I have another project, another CD published with another guitarist from International Society for Improvised Music. He was actually manager of the community, Richard Rapson. Mm-hmm. And he's a freelance musician, but he's a, you know, university staff. He's another job, but he's a good musician. And he brought his music from Algeria and some part of Middle East with guitar and ukulele to Toronto 2016. And we recorded the album named Meet Me in Tangier, yeah. His name of the album. If you check my, you know, discography, you can see the album. Yeah, it's with Persian percussion, Comanche, and different guitars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one published in 2000. Fortunately, I had the chance, you know, bring my culture, you know, experience to Canada and other parts of the world, and learn a lot every day, learning from people from different cultures. Today, I learn from you because I had the time, you know, to get some ideas from you, from other people, because every moment we are learning. And this is a big chance for all of us, because we are living in a place without any borders, without anything. For example, if you want to go on stage, you just rent a stage and going on stage, play your music, your poem. Mm-hmm. But in many places, I have, you know, many great musicians, for them, they don't have a chance to go on a stage. They're just playing for themselves. That's a big, you know, big contrast. That's why you mentioned before, okay, this kind of music is sad, another one is happy. We need both. We can compare it. We have a chance to compare it, and we keep both happiness and sadness. This is part of life. And anyway, yeah, this was my story, and thank you so much for having me and giving me this time.
You've been so generous with your time today, but I'm wondering if you feel like playing a little bit more before we close out.
Sure.
That would be wonderful.
Sure, I appreciate it. Yeah, sure. And I think before playing music, I would like to say thank you to you to just getting in touch with me, you know, trying to find me. And I know today is not easy, and it takes time, you know, managing time. And I'm new with this software, actually, and you know that. And I was curious, okay, this one, it works. And fortunately, I think it's working, because we don't have any delay when we're talking or playing. And that's why. But I appreciate your time, and I hope we have a time to, you know, meet in person.
Yes.
Later. And I'm very happy to, you know, have this chance to introduce my music in your channel to your, you know, followers. And actually, it's a great idea. You have a different musicians from different genres and cultures. And it's important for being, you know, being Canadian. Canadian, it means multicultural country. It's not just world, because we're living in this society, and we all understand this. Anyway, I play probably different piece in different mode.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
The link for my podcast website is in the description for all the episodes, both video and podcast. If you enjoyed this conversation, you may enjoy the conversations I had with Hushyar Khayyam and Patty Chan in season one. Please follow this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you would consider rating and reviewing it, it will help other listeners find the series. Thanks.